Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Now, this is a very interesting message. Just came in on our Montana Talks app from our friend Evan in Belt, a great Air Force veteran, calls into the show from time to time, messages into the show from time to time. So for those of you who haven't seen it, Jeremy Carl is a senior fellow with the Claremont Institute, and he was a Trump appointee in the Trump administration in President Trump's first term, worked on fish and wildlife issues in the Department of Interior, just a well-read, thoughtful guy. But, you know, of course, he lives in Bozeman, Montana now. And he posted on X, I think it was over the weekend. That's when it caught my eye because I was like, okay, I need to email that to myself because we need to talk about this on the show, but I don't want to forget about it because I saw it on the weekend. He shared the numbers that in Bozeman, Montana, he said this, we have gone from 1% English learners in public schools to 7.3% in just a decade. The vast majority of that growth has happened in just the past few years due to Biden's open border. So think about that. 7.3% of the kids in the Bozeman public schools don't speak English. Now, whether they're here legally or illegally, it poses a challenge, right? What do we do with that? Because, you know, these schools have to provide education to anybody in the community, regardless of their immigration status. But Evan and Belt raises a good point here. He says, concerning the students who can't speak English, maybe somehow they can do a pay-to-play plan, just like so many rural schools have to do for sports and even some music programs. There has to be a way that this can be done without putting the burden on traditional students, staff, and taxpayers. Maybe they can form a booster club or whatever. And if they are here illegally, I say this with no reservation, send them back. And I think what would be really interesting, Evan, is to see if these numbers change 1 year from today or even 6 months from today, now that President Trump is in place and now that his team is starting to deport, especially the most criminal element of the illegal aliens. And we have seen a lot of illegal aliens showing up in the jail in places like Bozeman, Montana. And so it'd be interesting to see, because right now we don't know what we don't know how many of those 552 students are here legally or illegally. We just know they can't speak English. And the school has to somehow try to figure it out here. So critical resources are being diverted. But his whole sports analogy, man, that really rang true, didn't it? I mean, think about it. Like, when we were kids, if you wanted to play sports, you had the opportunity to play sports. Now it's like, well, you got to pay extra for that. You got to pay extra for this. You got to pay. Even though these schools are bringing in more money from taxpayers than ever before, even though these cities are bringing in more money from taxpayers, you got to pay extra for that. Public safety. Oh, you got to pay extra for that. What? Why do you need an extra levy for public safety? Why aren't you funding that with the budget we already gave you? You got to pay extra for sports. But come to the country illegally. No, we'll create a special program just for you.
Do you need to pay tax on your unemployment benefits? I'm Jenny Cosolda with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
I'm Benjamin Hall, Fox News senior correspondent and New York Times best-selling author. Join me every Monday on my podcast as I speak with silent but noteworthy heroes. Make sure you subscribe to my podcast, Searching for Heroes with Benjamin Hall, wherever you download podcasts, and leave a rating and a review.
Unemployed and receiving benefits?
Ironically and unfortunately, unemployment benefits are subject to income tax.
CPA Stephen Zellin of Zellin & Associates says unemployment benefits are considered taxable income at both the state and federal level.
We would recommend considering to have some tax withheld.
Zellin says you can do that when you sign up for benefits, and you'll need to report the unemployment payments you received on your tax return. Jenny Cosolda, Fox News.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like her 15th. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If you bought a new electric vehicle last year, you may qualify for a tax credit depending on the brand. I'm Hillary Barsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast, bringing you closer to the story than you ever thought possible. Subscribe at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. These are the stories that keep you up at night.
You might be entitled to a tax break depending on which electric vehicle you purchased, or CPA and tax attorney Alan J. Strauss says
the dealer may just reduce the price by the amount of the credit. That is something to make sure you clarify with the car dealer.
You would have to know if the dealer is building the credit into the price of the car.
Each manufacturer is entitled to pass through only a limited number of credits for a limited number of automobiles.
So get the information from the dealer in terms of what kind of credit you're entitled to. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, speaking of illegal aliens, man, I tell you what, the U.S. Border Patrol Spokane sector, which covers northwest Montana, so our Border Patrol agents here in Montana, they are rocking and rolling. They are continuing to get the job done. So you've got ICE, which is U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, so they enforce the immigration laws throughout the country. Border Patrol, obviously, they work on the border. And within a certain range of that border. So that's why you'll see ICE in the interior of the country detaining and arresting and then deporting illegal aliens. And then near the border, you'll see Border Patrol also going to places like Thompson Falls, Columbia Falls, etc. Remember back in January, about a month or so ago, we shared it on our Montana Talks website. I mean, several illegal aliens arrested after operations. Local tipsters came in. Several operations, Thompson Falls, Columbia Falls, you name it, Border Patrol, Spokane sector, arresting and detaining criminal illegal aliens from various countries as well, right? Well, now we have this, and thanks to Matt Desch with KJJR Radio for sharing this with me yesterday afternoon. Let's see, this would be Monday now. On Monday, agents from the Whitefish Station apprehended 4 illegal aliens from Mexico during 2 separate incidents. 2 subjects' criminal histories include a conviction for DUI and the other one for illegal re-entry into the United States. All subjects will be turned over to ICE/ERO pending removal proceedings. So anyway, great job there by the U.S. Border Patrol Spokane sector. For those of you who didn't hear the story, earlier this morning, Fox News Radio was the report that I heard. They have a great report featuring a new plan coming out of the Department of Homeland Security announced by Secretary Kristi Noem.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says immigrants 14 years old and up who are in the U.S. illegally are about to face stricter rules amid a tougher stance on immigration. Appearing on Fox's Jesse Waters Primetime, she said anyone in the country illegally must register within 30 days.
They will be fingerprinted. They must announce that they are here. And if they do so, they can avoid criminal charges and fines, and we will help them relocate right back to their home country.
After registration and fingerprinting, DHS will issue evidence of registration, which immigrants over 18 must carry and keep with them at all times. They must also notify the federal government of any change in address. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
All right, there you go. Yeah, great plan. Now, this ties in with, I don't know how many of you got a chance to go to our border security rallies that we had last summer. Last August, we had retired Border Patrol Chief Chris Clem, great guy. He traveled the entire state of Montana with us. We did these border security rallies that were put on by Americans for Prosperity Montana. And Chief Clem spoke. They had an immigration expert speak. But, you know, I think it was actually, if I'm not mistaken, it was our friend Susan Renault in Missoula. At the event in Missoula, I think it was hers. If not, it was somebody else. They asked a really good question. They said, okay, so let's assume President Trump gets elected in November. You've had tens of millions of illegal aliens flood into this country because of Joe Biden and John Tester in the last 4 years. There's going to be people that say, well, how are you going to deport all those people? There's no way it can be done. And that's where Chief Clem talked about various things you could do. A, just the fact that you shut down the border and you stop the bleeding, stop sinking the ship. Okay, that's first thing. Well, they're doing that with the dramatic decline, 95% decrease in interactions on our southern border right now. Okay, that's part of it. The other thing is the messaging war. And Chief Clem said this last summer. He said, you start with the most hardened criminals, the people who have already been convicted of other crimes while in this country, rape, murder, drug dealing, you name it. And, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Well, that's the first bite out of the illegal alien problem in America, is you go after that element first. That's what Tom Homan, ICE, and Homeland Security are doing right now, and Border Patrol as well. They're going after that problem. And then he said the messaging itself will be a deterrent to stop more people from coming into this country. And former Florida senator and now Secretary of State Marco Rubio is saying that that is happening as well. You've got people making U-turns. Central America, South America, they're making one big U-turn right now.
We are literally in some of these countries. I had a call yesterday, one of these countries. They now have people doing U-turns, right? They were on the way here. They realized, okay, they're not playing around anymore. President Trump is serious. And they've done a U-turn. They're trying to go back to their country. Right. We're seeing that happen. And that is as a result of President Trump's very clear leadership.
All right. So the U-turns are happening. The deterrence effect is happening. The other angle that Chief Clem talked about is he said, look, you've got to figure out a way to get the people that are already here illegally and to get them to self-deport. And that's what Kristi Noem, this is what her plan will, and President Trump's plan will basically help to do, is one big encouragement to any of these illegal aliens still in this country. Is like, okay, we've got this system now. You better register for the system. You get your fingerprints done. If you do so, you won't face additional charges. But we're still going to send you back home. But if you don't, you will face additional charges and you will be forcibly removed. So this is part of, you know, just a multi-pronged effort to secure this country once again.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We economists love our models. When it comes to politics, one of the most insightful is the theory of the median voter. The elected leader who obeys the will of the voter in the middle on any issue, the simple idea says, will be reelected in a majority rule system. One implication of this idea is that there are an awful lot of people, almost half in fact, that don't like the result. What are they to do? Enter another economic theory, the idea that people vote with their feet to sort themselves into enclaves of political or economic agreement, describes a process that lets those disaffected by popular votes get outcomes they're they're closer to what they want, at least at the local level. And there's evidence that those who say like low taxes and minimal services and those who prefer the opposite do exactly that within any urban area. That's not so readily accomplished for national policy questions, of course. We can and do move in an intellectual sense, escaping into our personalized information feeds that agree with our worldviews. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
If you work for cash tips, you must report them to the IRS. I'm Hillary Barsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
From around the world to Washington to your own backyard, if a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Tips are treated as wages and are subject to both income and Social Security tax. CPA and tax attorney Alan J. Strauss.
The person receiving the tips is required to let the boss know the amount of the tips that he or she received and pay the Social Security tax on it.
Restaurant servers automatically have taxes withheld.
If the amount is less than what is required, you're still required to report all of the tips and pay the difference as to what might be owed on the rest of the tips.
The employer also has many reporting obligations. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Hey, you know, I've been saying this on the show over the past few days. I know our lawmakers are really busy in Helena during the legislative session. In fact, they're already about to reach the transmittal deadline. That's kind of like halftime for the 90-day Montana legislative session. Yeah, 1 week from Friday is the transmittal deadline, and then they'll get what they refer to as a transmittal break, and some will get an actual break, and some will take the time to go back and hear from you, hear from constituents, etc. But, you know, we've been trying to do as much as we can to stay on top of the news in Helena. We do a weekly legislative update every Thursday with Speaker Lear and President Regeer. And then I get a chance to catch up once a week. And then also we get the Democrat House Minority Whip on as well. But I know there's all sorts of other bills that are being discussed, you know. And so I put out kind of an open invite. If any lawmakers ever want to join us on the show and tell us what you're working on, or, you know, talk about the other big news of the day, give us a call, especially when we have the phone lines open. Or if we need to schedule some time, we can usually figure out a way to schedule some time. We've got Representative Courtney Sprunger out of Kalispell now with us on the phone lines. Representative Sprunger, great to have you back on the show. What's moving and shaking in Helena, or what are some of the bills you want to talk to your constituents about in particular?
Aaron, it's great to be here. I love your show, so thanks for having me on. You know, there is so much going on this time of the year to transmittal. I was just laughing. I think we have 12 bills up in local government on Thursday. So, and we have, I think, 10 bills on the board in business and labor today. So we are absolutely busy. There is a plethora of different topics to discuss. This morning, we're actually jumping into the marijuana regulation discussion in business and labor, which is, there are actually 14 different bills on the table to look at everything from regulation around advertising to, you know, serving size, which is an interesting topic for the Republican Party. Many of us, you know, didn't feel terribly comfortable with the legalization, but obviously we are the party of freedom. And so how do we balance those things? That's been a big topic of discussion the last few weeks here. Maybe not one that people hear highlighted in the press, but certainly one that's been front and center in business and labor.
Yeah, very interesting. So what are some of the particular changes? Because, yeah, I think even the folks who didn't like the legalization of recreational marijuana, I mean, it is what it is. It passed with a pretty healthy margin. But there are people who are saying, hey, let's put some sideboards in place here.
That's right. There's actually a fairly substantial lobby that's working on this part. And I think that it's worth a substantial conversation, right? So The bill that we heard this morning talks about the idea that the federal limit for serving size is essentially 5 milligrams. But in Montana, we have serving sizes of 10 milligrams. And so the discussion is, what's safe? And, you know, I think people probably understand at least the consumption of alcohol a little bit better, but they don't necessarily always understand the impact of 5 milligrams versus 10 milligrams on their body when it comes to THC or marijuana. And so I think it's a really interesting discussion. I'm sure some of the proposals will make it through. I think of the 14, we probably won't see all of them. The discussion, as a for instance, around how can they market and advertise themselves ranges from, should they be allowed to sponsor kids' baseball games? I would say probably not. All the way to, are they allowed to have the green cross on their building or not? Is that a, you know, does that make them look like a medical provider? And some people do feel it's a medical remedy. And so I think either amending that bill down significantly or it may not pass. But I think the serving size bill will be a very interesting discussion as far as public safety. So those are kind of two ends of the spectrum on that discussion in particular.
Yeah, very interesting. Big picture. My rant of the day today was there was one of the Liberal Lee newspapers in the Billings Gazette. They had a story because Governor Greg Gianforte was in town promoting the homestead property tax relief, which would be big relief for property tax owners. And my rant of the day was they had a headline talking about how, oh, yeah, Montanans will benefit from property tax relief, something to this effect. But cities may struggle to figure it out, something to that effect. I should pull up the actual headline again here. But I'm like, oh, for Pete's sake, really? Like, oh, so the state of Montana, and this was part of my rant, because it's so easy for everybody to focus on the division within the Republican Party. But I'm confident that the Republican majority and the governor are going to deliver significant property tax relief this session. I feel really good about that. I feel confident about that. But it's like, here's the Liberal Lee newspapers providing cover for these cities who are still going to try to keep our property taxes high. If the state of Montana can and will figure this out, these cities should be able to figure it out too.
That's what I think. And honestly, functionally speaking, the state's going to be doing a lot of the heavy lifting on the math there. And the homestead exemption, from my standpoint, makes a lot of sense for long-term Montanans and people who have been invested in the state. We're talking about putting first the people who are residents of Montana. And certainly other people are welcome to, as a for instance, own a second home here. But since they don't pay income tax, I think having a higher rate ensures that they are paying their fair share for things like fire service, for the roads that we use. And I think it's fair, right? And the other piece is, realistically, when we have a two-tier stool with tax, the pressure's probably going to go somewhere, but we absolutely have to take care of resident Montanans first. And I think the homestead exemption does a good job of that. There are a number of different proposals out there. I'm actually carrying one, too. It's called the Right Back Act. That would deliver, you know, depending on what happens with other proposals, between $50 and $60 million in property tax relief across the state just in the first year. So a lot of these proposals are going to work hand in hand, potentially, and many of them are, quite frankly, most of the administrative burden is on the state, not the cities.
Yeah, it's great when you read, you know, what the governor is promoting here and what I know the legislative Republicans are. I know there's some minor differences or maybe even bigger differences between what might be the House-backed version or the Senate-backed version. But I think at the end of the day, I think the legislature and the governor will figure out a good property tax relief measure here. But according to the governor's proposal, would lower property taxes for Montana primary homeowners by 15%. And small businesses by 18%, and this is much-needed relief. The last two sessions, when the legislature has cut taxes, it's led to more revenue coming in, not less. And clearly, we the people need some more of our own revenue to stay in our own pockets here. I know most of the Republican infighting right now we're seeing in the state Senate, not so much on the state House. But like I say, it's so easy for everybody to focus on, you know, the Republican versus Republican fighting. But big picture, things like this are going to be delivered, I believe. Oh, here's the headline from the Billings Gazette. Tax cuts could save Montanans millions,
but leave cities scrambling. These cities are bringing in a lot more revenue as well, so they need to figure out a way to provide relief, just like the state's working to do here. What are some of the other big bills that are moving or that you're hoping will make the final transmittal deadline?
So for me, I think I'm actually just getting ready to introduce the last of my 14 bills. And so probably the big one, which I just mentioned, and since we're kind of on the property tax discussion, is called the Right Back Act. And that actually, you know, one of my favorite mentors always says, we can do both. And in this bill, we do both. First of all, we provide substantive property tax relief, which to your point, the people sent us down with a mandate. Get it done. I believe the Republican Party absolutely will deliver property tax relief, and I think it will be meaningful. This bill is a proposal that actually has really interesting, strong bipartisan support, and it takes the 95 mills, which essentially are a base for school funding that has managed to stand up to constitutional challenge and lawsuits over the last, let's say, 35 years. It fixes those mills. We've had a lot of discussion about should they float, shouldn't they float, but the lawsuits, basically, the Supreme Court came back 7-0 saying, you know what, This is probably the right strategy, or at least it delivers on the constitutional promise for every kid to have a good education in Montana and for it to be relatively similar. And so what we're going to do is look to fix those mills so that we can settle that conversation. But ultimately, the 95 mills, because of property tax increases, have been bringing in way more than the budgeted amount. However, it used to be that that money would just flow right back into the general fund. That's not right. This bill is going to take the overage, which might be as much as $50 to $60 million in 2026, let's say, and flow it immediately back to property tax relief to help pay down what are called permissive mills. Those are the mills we don't vote on, the things we have to have. Pay down things like school bus transportation, the teacher retirement system, that kind of thing on your county tax bill, which is really, really important. So pushing that money back as relief is awesome, because the other thing is it doesn't redistribute the burden to anyone. It just gives the people their money back. And we do it while we ensure our kids get a great education.
And I also, think that. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if we're innovative, we really can do both.
You also had an interesting bill, because I went to the legislative website, and you can look up bills by author. You had a bill that generated some really good conversations here on this show. This the short title is this: Recognize the Obligation of Fatherhood and Provide for Child Support During Pregnancy. That was kind of interesting, because as I understand it, some Democrats even came out in support of the idea until Planned Parenthood got their feathers ruffled and got involved. Yeah. Yes.
You know, interestingly, there was actually a Democrat that carried a very similar proposal in the prior session. And so where I think the hang-up, and it's sad when this happens, right, which is we generally agree on the policy, but we're going to get into the minutiae and argue about, you know, specific language within the bill. I acknowledge the unborn child within the bill. This is child support payments that we're talking about starting at the first month of pregnancy. I think it's an appropriate thing to call a baby an unborn child in the bill, especially when we're talking about child support payments. I believe that life starts at conception. And so the goal of this was to say, let's have equally shared responsibility for that child at every stage of life, starting at the first month of pregnancy. We who are pro-life, I think this is a practical way to demonstrate that we believe that and we're willing to put our money where our mouth is.
But yeah, and it makes sense. But, of course, you know, the Democrats who wanted to look like they want to support women, they're like, oh, no, we can't dare acknowledge the life without, you know, looking bad in front of their campaign donors, Planned Parenthood. Hold that thought.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we had a great message come in on our Montana Talks app from Greg in Big Fork. He said, speaking of marijuana, where is the tax revenue of marijuana sales going to? And so I kind of threw that question to Representative Courtney Sprunger out of Kalispell during the break, and she said, yeah, the Citizens Initiative basically created like a Christmas tree effect, and so that's why that money is kind of going in a number of different directions. We could go a number of different directions here, and in fact, I joked with Representative Sprunger during the break. I said, God, I'd love to have you on for the full hour here, but then there'd be 149 other lawmakers who would want to be on for a full hour as well, and we definitely, we're open to having everybody on the show, but once we start doing a full hour, it gets tough to give everybody a full hour, but with a couple more minutes here to go, and then I want to talk more about Dan Bongino and Caroline Leavitt, and then open up the phone lines for our listeners as well, if you want to call in. Let's talk about the RAINS Act. We had Henry Kriegel from Americans for Prosperity Montana on the show on Monday. This is a great one. It's very similar to DOGE and what's being done at the federal level. The bottom line is we have to rein in the bureaucracy. It is bureaucracy versus democracy. We are a republic. Or for those of you that like to say democracy, well, it isn't a democracy when you have unelected bureaucrats doing whatever they want to do. And so we have to rein in an unelected bureaucracy, whether it's at the federal level or potentially at the state level. And you're supporting the RAINS Act in the state legislature.
Yeah, and we're actually jokingly calling it baby RAINS, because it doesn't do everything that the main RAINS Act does, but it does further the priorities of the RAINS Act, which are to basically ensure that the rulemaking process is in the hands of the legislature and not in the hands of unelected bureaucrats or folks that, you know, I mean, quite frankly, maybe holdovers from other agencies, other executives in other times. The executive we have now has done a really thoughtful job around rulemaking. We can't always guarantee that's going to be the case. This bill will put the legislature squarely in the seat. And what that means is if I pass a law, oftentimes there will be a rules package that comes with it that says this is how we execute it on a daily basis. There's a lot more detail. This ensures that the legislature is looking over every single one of those rules, that they know what the economic impact is, and that there is a better process for assuring that the public is informed about it, they know how to participate, and the legislature has their feedback on file as they look at those rules and decide whether or not those rules are going to move forward or they're going to be stopped and revised. And that is powerful. That means that we're putting the elected leaders in the driver's seat.
Oh, yeah, that's great. And, yeah, you and I were talking during the break, too. We had Congresswoman Kat Kamick out of Florida. She was one of the keynote speakers at the Lincoln-Reagan-Trump dinner in Kalispell that I got the honor of emceeing last fall. And she is the federal sponsor of legislation. And I hope that bill gets across the finish line, especially in light of the Supreme Court's Chevron decision here recently out of the U.S. Supreme Court. Representative Courtney Sprunger, great to catch up with you. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, I've been, you know, we've gotten some other, you know, random nice surprise phone calls from lawmakers like Representative Jerry Schillinger and others. So great to hear from you as well.
You bet, Aaron. Always a pleasure. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. Hey, thank you. Let's see. Caroline Leavitt, White House spokeswoman. You know, yesterday on the show, we had a bunch of great phone calls, a bunch of great messages. Everybody is so excited for Dan Bongino, who comes on the air here in about an hour and 15 minutes. So Dan Bongino, man, everybody's so excited for him to be the deputy director of the FBI. And we joked yesterday about, oh, now you've got the New York Times and these liberal media outlets downplaying Dan Bongino's law enforcement experience. Well, Caroline Leavitt took them to task yesterday at the podium at the White House.
Assurance to those senators.
I'm not sure if anybody in this room has listened to Mr. Bongino when he talks about the past corruption at the FBI, when he talks about his experience serving for the United States Secret Service. This is a man who loves his country and who has honorably served our country in ways that many people have not. He understands the depth of the corruption at these institutions, which the American people successful reelected President Trump to shake up. And I think it's quite despicable to see many networks in this room who have had chyrons on their television screens labeling Mr. Bongino as a far-right podcaster. He is not. He is a former law enforcement agent. He is a former Secret Service agent who put his life on the line to protect this country. And that is why the President of the United States has entrusted him for this important role. He's also an outsider to this Washington swamp. And we often see that when outsiders are appointed to such coveted positions, a lot of people in this city get very, very nervous. And they should be, because Dan Bongino and Kash Patel and Attorney General Bondi are focused on rooting out the corruption at these agencies and ending the weaponization of government once and for all. I'd like to end with something. As you all know...
All right, anyway, there you go. Go to x.com/Aaron Flint. That's from the Trump War Room. Way to set the record straight. You know, if only Dan Bongino was wearing red lipstick and a woman's dress and was stealing women's luggage at the airport, he'd be a hero to the New York Times, immediately qualified for a position like that. Well, I don't know if you guys, we got a great guest who just popped into our Montana Talk studios. I don't know if you guys saw this tweet from Senator Tim Sheehy showing the plate of food down at Fort Carson, Colorado. Some of you have heard me talk about this. They had lima beans and toast for dinner. No protein on the plate at all. It's like, oh, my goodness. So Senator Tim Sheehy was like, okay, maybe we need to add the general in charge of the food to the list, whatever this list is. Yeah, so if they're firing people and getting new people on the job that are competent, can we get somebody in charge of whoever's feeding our troops? My goodness. I'll tell you, you know who I nominate? I nominate Dr. Dale Williams with Billings Last Diet. Let's put him in charge of all the military nutritional programs. Doc, good to see you. Thanks for dropping in.
I accept your nomination. Thank you.
Yeah, there's got to be some board or something at HHS that RFK could throw you on, or DOD board. There's got to be something. We'll put your name in the hat.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the way we view food and nutrition and overall health with a new look from the outside. It'll be good.
So I was talking with our friend Tim out in Savage.
Yes.
He's on the North Dakota border, and we were joking about this plate of food. Toast and lima beans? Because Tim has now lost 90 pounds thanks to Billings' Last Diet. So he knows, like, man, if you really want to lose weight, you want to be healthy, maintain your muscle mass, burn the fat, you need some beef on that plate. You need some protein on that plate.
No kidding. And shout out to Tim. He's done great. I think he actually lost more than he intended to initially. Just got to where he wanted to be. And now I think he's going into phase two and looking to develop a lifestyle for the rest of his life. So, and he's all done it through eating nutritious beef and lean proteins, as well as vegetables and ideal protein products.
And he's done it on the North Dakota border.
Yeah.
Because Billings Last Diet now has a remote option. I've always felt bad because when I travel the state, and people will hear me talk about it on the show too. So like my friends in Kalispell or my friends in Butte will be like, man, Aaron, you're really keeping the weight off. Because, you know, they've seen me, you know, 10 years ago where it's like, okay, you get home from your military deployment and you go into post-deployment celebration disorder, start putting some pounds on, and then you go on your next deployment, you shred the pounds off. But thanks to Billings Last Diet, 7-8 years now practically, I've kept the extra weight off. And then Tim out in North Dakota, near North Dakota, has lost 90 pounds. So your remote plan is really working.
The remote program works really well. We have lots of people throughout the state of Montana who are doing the program remotely. It's pretty easy to do remotely. Tim, I think, is coming in this week. He's going to be in town. And so he'll be in physically into the office. But you don't have to come into town. We have coaching, virtual coaching that's provided. We get you set up with the seminar and get your food set up for you. Works very, very well.
Yeah, he's going to be in Billings for some of the basketball tournaments, I think. Is it Class C that's in Billings, I think? I know it always bounces around. Those Class C tournaments are fun to watch, but he's going to be calling some games for some of the Eastern Montana schools. So I think we'll get a chance to say hi to him on Friday as well. So that's going to be great. Well, and then George Blackard, our friend George Blackard, you know, he moved down to Texas. So everybody keeps asking me, hey, what happened to George? Where's George? Well, he moved to Texas, but he's actually back in town.
Oh.
I hope he's okay with me telling everybody. Well, he should be because, so he's going to join us on Friday here in the 8 o'clock hour, so that'll be fun. But even George will tell you, he went through Billings last night. He's like, holy cow, this program's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, so want people to know that they're looking to possibly do the remote option. It's really easy to do. Billings Last Diet, if you call the office and visit with us, we can get you set up for give you all the information you need, get you started, and it works really well.
They ship you the food products. They ship you the special scale that really helps out. And then, yeah, you do everything remotely, and it's working for Tim. It's worked for so many of our listeners. It'll work for you as well. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com or give them a call right now, 294-6751. Doc, stand by. We'll come back to you right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The American people, in overwhelming numbers, support what the president is doing. They support this cut. 80% support deporting criminal illegal immigrants. 76% support a full-scale effort to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse. 76% support closing the border. 70% support keeping men out of women's sports and declaring there are only two genders. Now, to these congressmen and women, I will tell you, 60%+ cutting government spending, ending the ban on offshore drilling. If you just look at these numbers, it is overwhelmingly a 70-30, 80-20 issue.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
The election is officially over, but is your money still at risk? We still have a staggering $35 trillion in debt. Interest on this debt now costs more than our entire defense budget for the first time in history. On top of that, we're still feeling the consequences of the brutal inflation we saw under Biden and the global chaos ripping across the globe. That's why thousands of concerned Americans are turning to precious metals to help hedge against these threats. And they're reaching out to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, to make it happen. Goldco has over 6,000 five-star reviews and has helped people just like you purchase over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. Right now, they're offering a free gold and silver kit to help you diversify your savings. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com.
Charitable contributions or donations can help taxpayers receive some deductions. I'm Hillary Barsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
It's time to take the quiz. 5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Charitable donations are one of the few areas where many people can receive some tax benefits. CPA and tax attorney Alan J. Strauss.
If you itemize your deductions, you can claim your charitable deductions up to 60% of your adjusted gross income.
Charity is one of the few categories where Strauss says you can get an immediate tax break.
Taxes have a $10,000 cap on them, and medical expenses have a floor amount.
Donations $250 or more, you need a copy of the canceled check or credit card receipt and an acknowledgement from the receiving organization. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we got a great email that just came in from one of our listeners. Let me see if I can go to my email here real fast. Let's see. Bernie says, hey, Aaron, just to set the record straight, lima beans are a good protein source with 12 grams of protein per cup. Love the show. Best from Bernie. No, and so Bernie's right. Yeah,
it's true.
Lima beans do have a pretty good amount of protein. I've even noticed, like, lentils and chickpeas. If you know, this is why farmers have their crops tested when they deliver the crops. They're testing for protein.
Yeah.
Higher the protein, the more money you're going to get for your crop, right? So there are plant-based proteins.
Now, they still don't do everything that your animal-based proteins will do, but still a good source of protein. Now, they come with more carbs at the same time, too, though.
Yes, and so you've always heard, eat your beans and rice. We combine beans and rice together. The reason we combine beans and rice is because the protein in a bean and the protein in a rice combined together give a complete protein. Complete protein meaning the variety of amino acids. So proteins are made up of amino acids, and you have to have the right combination to get a perfect protein. Perfect protein is an egg. They compare all proteins as far as quality of a combination of amino acids to an egg. And so you have to have beans and rice to get a complete protein.
Interesting.
And a lot of carbs with the beans and the rice.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why it's not on phase one in Billings' last diet protocol. But absolutely correct, there is protein in a lentil bean.
Yeah. Well, I know for a lot of our listeners across the state, they may not be as familiar about how the Billings Last Diet program works. So with a couple of minutes or so here that we have left, I guess give us an overview of how the program works.
So it's a three-phase protocol. The first phase is designed to be the weight loss phase. And so when you're losing weight, you want to make sure you're losing the correct weight. You want to burn fat. So we call it a fat-burning, muscle-sparing protocol. A lot of programs, when you're losing weight, you're going to lose some fat, but you're also going to lose the muscle. When you lose your muscle, you decrease your metabolism, your base metabolic rate. And so we want to make sure we're maintaining our muscle mass while we're burning fat. And so that's phase one. It's fat-burning, muscle-sparing protocol. You're going to get the ideal amount of protein. You'll have 4 cups of vegetables and a lean protein source, beef, chicken, fish, pork, a good source of protein for your food. During that weight loss phase, you're going to develop a lifestyle of knowing what healthy foods are like. There's an education process so that when you roll into the next phase, which is phase two, it's called your stabilization phase, you'll have a whole cadre of foods that are healthy and that are good for you that you'll like, that you'll eat the rest of your life. During that period of time, we'll bring you out of ketosis, out of nutritional ketosis, and get you onto your macro code, which is the right amount of protein, the right amount of carbs, the right amount of fats. Once we figure that out, then we can roll you into a maintenance program to help you keep the weight off for the rest of your life. And then we have our own Aaron Flint here is a great example of that, of developing that lifestyle for the rest of their life.
Yeah, it's amazing. Even Tim and Savage and I were talking about how you start to crave good things.
Yeah.
You crave those vegetables, actually. Like to me, there's no better dinner meal than a good steak and maybe some asparagus, or I'll roast broccoli in the oven with the spray olive oil and some steak seasoning on it. And even my kids are now snacking on broccoli because you figure out the way to. But you really do. You start to crave good things instead of crave the bad things as
That's
much.
The lifestyle change that we're looking for. And then in phase three, you're really eating whole foods. The whole foods that we are hearing about with RFK coming in and talking about ultra-processed foods and the evils of the food industry. I like to say if it has a label on it, you have to be careful. If it's not labeled, it's pretty safe. Your fruits and vegetables don't have the nutritional labels on them.
Yeah, man, it's so exciting to see what RFK Jr. is going to do there. Yeah. I know he's working very closely with some of our Montana ranchers because, you need that ideal protein in your system.
You bet.
Dr. Dale Williams with Billings Last Diet. Yeah, the products taste good as well. You got a lot to choose from. Check out the remote option, BillingsLastDiet.com, or give them a call, 294-6751. Speaking of beef, we got a great rancher joining us in the 9 o'clock hour, plus time for your calls.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We economists love our models. When it comes to politics, one of the most insightful is the theory of the median voter. The elected leader who obeys the will of the voter in the middle on any issue, the simple idea says, will be reelected in a majority rule system. One implication of this idea is that there are an awful lot of people, almost half in fact, that don't like the result. What are they to do? Enter another economic theory, the idea that people vote with their feet to sort themselves into enclaves of political or economic agreement, describes a process that lets those disaffected by popular votes get outcomes that are closer to what they want, at least at the local level. And there's evidence that those who, say, like low taxes and minimal services, and those who prefer the opposite, do exactly that within any ever urban area. That's not so readily accomplished for national policy questions, of course. We can and do move in an intellectual sense, escaping into our personalized information feeds that agree with our worldviews. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.